You know, some people enjoy composing their own music, chord by chord, and others are happiest when they come across that one perfect song. Work is not a lot different than that. Whether you prefer building your own workflow or using a pre-made template, with Monday.com, you and the team can work in a way that's comfortable for everyone. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com and build your own amazing workflow, or find an awesome template. No judgment.
Welcome back, everyone, to 1001 Stories from the Old West. This is your host, John Hagedorn. I have three Gunsmoke episodes for you today. Enjoy.
Around Dodge City and in the territory on west, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gun Smoke, starring William Conrad. The transcribed story of the violence that moved west with young America. And the story of a man who moved with it.
I'm that man, Matt Dillon, United States Marshal. The first man they look for and the last they want to meet. It's a chancy job, and it makes a man watchful and a little lonely.
You got the mail, Chester?
I sure did, Mr. Dillon. And if that railroad gets any slower, yesterday's train's going to start getting into Dodge tomorrow.
Well, that's happened a couple of times. Is there anything important?
I ain't had a chance to look.
What?
Well, it took Will Borger so long to get them mailbags sorted. Oh, say, he's coming over here in a little while, Mr. Dillon.
Huh? Will is? What for?
I don't know. But he's got something on his mind he's about to bust his britches over. He said it had to do with Jim Rankin.
Jim Rankin?
Well, I hated to bring it up, Mr. Dillon. You and Jim Rankin being close friends like you was.
I can't figure what Will Borgler'd know about Jim's murder. He never gets out of that depot except to eat.
Well, maybe he's heard something from El Paso, something over the telegraph.
There's nothing to hear, Chester, and there won't be. He was killed for that payroll he was carrying.
But they never did find the body.
Well, they buried him somewhere out there on the desert, more than likely, and then jumped the border.
They sure could get a long way south on $60,000, all in banknotes. Wouldn't be no weight to it. Wouldn't even fill a saddlebag. It's funny, I was always joshing him about that. A full-grown man being a messenger boy for Wells Fargo, going around carrying a little old hand case with him.
And being a target for every hold-up man west of St. Louis.
I know. I never had no call to be plaguing him. When I think of it now, I could just kick myself.
Jim knew you didn't mean it, Chester. Yeah, you know, he was one of the best. I rode a lot of country with Jim Rankin back when he was a lawman.
Evening, Marshal.
Come on in, Will. What's this news about Jim Rankin?
Just that you and everybody else is wrong, that's all.
Oh, why so?
Because all of you figured them killers must have headed south after they murdered Rankin. But they've come north, Marshal.
What makes you think so?
These. A couple of banknotes. $10 silver certificates. American Federal Bank of Boston.
Chester, give me that Wells Fargo list of serial numbers, would you?
Yes, sir. Already checked them, Marshal. They're on the list.
Where'd you get these, Will?
They turned up in my cash box at the depot. Somebody bought a ticket with them.
Who? Do you know?
It was Miss Lily over to the Long Branch.
Lily?
That pretty one with the yellow hair. She bought a ticket on the Santa Fe to Kansas City. Said she was aiming to go back there on a visit.
Why, them killers might be right here in Dodge, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah, I hope so, Chester. I sure do hope so.
Well,
Hello, Kitty.
Well, good to see you, Matt. You've been a real stranger the last month. Ever since I... Well...
Since Jim Rankin was murdered, huh?
I didn't mean to rub salt in.
That's all right, Kitty. In fact, that's the reason I'm here now.
Huh?
Is Lily around somewhere?
Well, she's upstairs, I suppose. I'm kind of surprised.
Odd what?
You. A marshal's pay won't get you far in that club, Matt. The dues are pretty high, you know.
This wouldn't be just a case of one pretty woman talking about another pretty woman, would it?
No, seriously, Matt. Didn't Jim ever tell you about it?
Jim?
Jim Rankin. You didn't know about it?
About what?
I thought you knew he was spending all his time with Lily.
No, I didn't. I'll see you later, Kitty. How are you, Lily?
Well, this is quite a surprise.
I understand you're leaving for Kansas City.
I'm just going for a visit. Is there a law against it, Marshal? Or do you care personally?
You bought a railroad ticket this afternoon from Will Borgler. You paid for it with a couple of $10 notes of the American Federal Bank of Boston.
Oh, my. You have been taking an interest.
Where did you get those banknotes, Lily?
Oh, come now, Mark.
I want to know where you got those bills.
Why, I don't know where I got them.
You don't know, huh?
Of course not. The gentlemen who come into the Long Branch are usually quite generous.
And the gentlemen who come in usually carry gold or silver. Paper money is rare in Dodge, and you know it.
I don't remember who gave them to me, and what difference does it make? They're good, aren't they?
Yeah. And they were stolen from a man who disappeared from a blood-stained room in El Paso, Texas.
How do you know?
Because Wells Fargo records the serial number of every banknote they ship. And these numbers match.
Oh, but I...
The man's name was Jim Rankin, in case you've forgotten him in the last 30 days.
Marshal, Jim and I were going to be married.
We're going to be married?
Is it that unbelievable?
It's just that Jim never mentioned it, that's all.
He knew what you'd say.
When did you see him last, Lily?
10 days before he got killed. He went from here to St. Louis and then straight to El Paso.
Did you know his plans, where he was going to stay in El Paso, how much money he was carrying?
What are you trying to say?
I just asked you if...
Sorry, I couldn't make it any sooner.
Well, you get out of here, mister. You've got the wrong room.
Well, yes, I have. Sorry, folks, I was looking for
somebody
else.
Wait just a minute. You're a gambler, aren't you? House man over at the Ella Fraganza.
That's right, Marshal. Deuce McCoy.
Who were you looking for?
Nobody. I'll not bother you folks any longer.
McCoy, you wouldn't happen to have any banknotes on you by any chance, would you?
Banknotes? I'm strictly gold standard, Marshal. I got caught with some of that worthless paper trash during the rebellion. My apologies, ma'am, Marshal.
Why are you looking at me that way? I never saw him before in my life.
Lily, if you're in the clear, then I'm sorry for misjudging you.
You should be.
But if you're not, if you did have anything to do with Jim's murder, I'll bring you in for it if it takes me the rest of my life. Three days went by, and things stayed pretty much the same. I found out Jim Rankin had told a couple of people that he was going to marry Lily. And she could have been telling the truth about the two banknotes. Maybe she didn't remember where she'd got them. But she had lied about one thing, about not knowing Deuce McCoy. Word had gotten around town that she and Deuce had been thicker than thieves for a long time. But that didn't help me. Neither one had been out of Dodge in 6 months. And then one evening about 8 o'clock, Kitty came into the office with the news that started a landslide.
Oh, Miss Kitty.
Matt, there's something funny going on.
What do you mean, Kitty?
Lily. She didn't show up for work this evening, so I went upstairs looking for her. All her clothes, her costumes, they're gone. She's cleaned everything out.
You know where she lives?
Yeah, she's got a room at L.A. Grott's place, down south of the Dodge House, a couple of streets.
Yeah, I know where it is. Chester, come on, let's go. Lily wasn't at the rooming house, and nobody there had seen her since mid-afternoon. So Chester and I went back and took a look at her room in the Long Branch. And Kitty was right. She'd cleaned out.
Great goodness, Mr. Dillon, if this ain't the most upset room...
That's kind of a mess, all right.
Things throw it around every which way. Looks like a cyclone hit it.
Somebody was hunting for something.
Well, you'd think Lily'd know where things was at.
It was somebody else, Chester, after Lily had gone.
Well, where do you think she's gone to, Mr. Dillon?
Well, she bought a railroad ticket to Kansas City.
Mm-hmm. Night train leaves in half an hour.
Yeah, we better get over to the depot. Come on.
You know, it's kindly hard to think ill of a woman as pretty as Lily. Man just can't hardly help believing anything she wants him to.
Yeah, I know.
Marshal. Hey, I'm glad you're here. I was just aiming to send a boy over to tell you.
Tell me what, Will?
Well, a little about them two. They're here. Miss Lily and that there gambler feller, Deuce McCoy.
Oh?
Yeah, he's the one that brought the trunks in, but part of them's hers. He wasn't fooling me none.
Are they both leaving? Is he going with her?
Well, I reckon so. Bought herself a ticket to Kansas City, same as hers. They didn't pay for it with no banknotes, though. He used gold.
Uh-huh. Where are they now, Will?
Well, they've been hanging around down there at the end of the platform. Stayed clear of the light, I figured. Maybe you don't want to draw no attention to themselves. It ain't like Miss Lillian, either. Ordinarily, she'd have herself rigged out fit to kill. Be a strutting around here, bold as glass. But...
What?
That was down the platform.
Yeah, come on, Chester.
Straight ahead, Marshal. There at the end.
Yeah, I see.
Look, Mr. Dillon, somebody jumped on a horse.
Yeah. Hold it there!
He's getting away. Couldn't have been nothing but plain luck in the dark like this, Mr. Dillon.
I'd have sworn I had him in my sights. So.
Marshal!
Yeah?
That's Miss Lily and that gambler feller. They shot both of them. He's dead.
Was it, Lily? Who shot you?
He came back.
Who?
Jim.
Jim?
I never thought he...
You gonna go after Mr. Dillon?
No, we'll wait till sun up, Chester.
Sun up?
There's no hurry, not now. I got a pretty good idea where Jim will head for.
Dillon, how can you be so doggone certain he's out here somewhere?
Because I know how he thinks, Chester.
I never see such a country. Rimrock, gullies, mesquite, plum thickets. We couldn't find him in this stuff in a month of Sundays.
I think he'll find us.
Oh, dear, I'd believe you wouldn't talk that way. Mr. Dillon gives a man the willies, knowing all the time there might be a gun sight leveled on him and not knowing just when the shot.
Well, you know now, Chester.
are.
He's just by that point of rim rock.
Oh, forget it. He's got perfect cover.
Is that you, Matt?
Yeah, it's me, Jim.
Leave your gun. Come up here. Come alone.
Stay here with the horses, Justin.
Don't do it, Mr. Dillon. You don't know what he's up to.
There's only one way to find out. Here, take my gun.
Oh, well, I just don't like this. I don't like this.
Over this way, Matt.
Matt, you're a fool. I could have shot you dead.
I was betting you wouldn't.
Why'd it have to be you?
That's the difference, Jim. It had been somebody sooner or later.
You knew it was me, or you wouldn't have come here. How did you know, Matt?
Lily told me. Before she died.
I'm sorry about that. In a way. Last night I went to her room and found she'd taken the money and run out on me. I've been living down along the river bottom since I rode up from El Paso. I was...
What's the matter, Joe?
It was pretty good shooting last night, Matt. Dark as it was.
Well, we better get you in the dock.
Oh, no. Forget it, Matt. I know how I stand. Lily never did mean to marry me, man. She told me last night there on the station platform. And then she laughed.
Take it easy, Jim.
She helped me plan that fake robbery in El Paso. She was all for it, I thought. But she was all for the money, not for me. Never known a woman like Lily. All fire and diamonds and soft as a kitten.
Yeah.
You're funny.
I know I'd do the same thing again if she asked me to. What do you think of that?
I'm not your judge, Jim.
Matt, remember the time we rode out of San Antonio and we rode from San Antonio?
Yeah, I remember, Jim. Yeah. We were planning to ride down to Laredo and see if we could... Jim? Yeah, Jim. I remember.
Gunsmoke, produced and directed by Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. The script was specially written for Gunsmoke by Les Crutchfield, with editorial supervision by John Meston. The music was composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Sound patterns by Ray Kemper and Bill James. Featured in the cast were Lynn Allen, Tim Graham, Lawrence Dobkin, and John Daner. Harley Bear is Chester, Howard McNear is Doc, and Georgia Ellis is Kitty. Around Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. ¶¶ Gunsmoke, starring William Conrad. The transcribed story of the violence that moved west with young America. And the story of a man who moved with it.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal. The first man they look for and the last they want to meet. It's a chancy job, and it makes a man watchful and a little lonely.
Good evening, Matt.
Hello, Doc. I've been waiting for you. I'm all set up.
Ah, well, might as well put away that cribbage board. We won't be playing tonight.
Oh, why not? Have you found an easier mark?
No, but you're going to hightail it up the street once you hear the news.
Yeah?
Matt, Belle's back.
Belle? Belle who?
Belle who? Belle Ainsley, that's who. You got a mighty short memory for a man who used to eat dinner out of her place 2 and 3 times a week.
Well, she was a good cook, that's all. Besides, that was 3 years ago.
Oh, Matt, you know doggone well you...
Why don't you forget it, Doc? Is Jess Kreider with her?
No. She's come back alone.
Well, that's too bad.
Too bad? Why? Jess Kreider's no good.
That's just why. He was wanted 3 years ago when he left here with her, and he's wanted even more now. Here... Here, take a look at this bulletin from Wichita. Hold up at the Stockman State Bank, wounding 2 bank guards. Mm-hmm. Santa Fe, 3 counts of highway robbery. Lordsburg, hold up at the Butterfield Stage, driver killed.
All right, so Jess Kreider's a thieving killer. Everybody knows that.
Well, that's why I'd like to see him come back.
Mr. Dillon?
Yeah, what is it, Chester?
Guess who is back, Mr. Dillon?
I already know, Chester.
Yeah, but that ain't all. She's...
Chester, if one more person comes in here and tells me about Belle Ainsley, so help me...
You're what, Matt?
Belle. She was right outside, I was going to say.
Well, come on. Come on, Chester. I'll buy you a beer.
Well, I... Gosh. Well, I'll see you later, Mr. Dillon.
How are you, Matt?
I'm fine, Belle. And you?
Huh? A little older.
Are you a visitor, or are you... planning on staying?
Well, I'm staying. The town will let me.
What about Jess Kreider? Where is he, Bill?
I don't know. And I don't care. I left him in Durango. I'm through with him, Matt.
I see.
I want to stay here with my father. He's getting old, and my kid sister, Phyllis, well, she's grown into a young woman since I went away.
And pretty bitter, I understand, when it comes to you.
She'll get over it. Everybody will, if you'll help me, Matt.
Help you?
3 months after I left, I came back, if you remember. And I found the good people of Dodge had already tried and condemned me. What could I do but go back to Jess?
Well, you chose to run off with him in the first place.
Chose? Who knew whether I had? Who bothered to ask? You? Anybody?
What are you saying?
Matt, I rode out of Dodge, thrown across the back of Jess Kreider's saddle, with a gag in my mouth and my hands tied.
Oh. Why didn't you tell somebody that?
Who'd have believed it?
But he didn't keep your hands tied for 3 years, Bill.
Matt, a woman has to have somebody. Somebody who wants her. And nobody here did. As bad as he was, Jess was my man.
Yeah. What do you want me to do, Bill?
Just tell people, that's all. If you believe me. Just tell them how it happened. Matt.
Ah, evening, Kitty. Where'd you get all the crowd?
A trail herd's in. The bar Double D from the Panhandle.
Huh?
I understand an old friend of yours came back last week.
You know, a man tips his hat twice to a woman around here, and he's married.
Is that really all you did, Matt? Tip your hat twice?
Yeah, just about. Have you talked to Belle?
Well, in passing. I heard his story. You believe it, Matt?
That's possible. It's the kind of a thing Jess Kreider'd do. I don't know for sure.
Well, if it did happen that way and she's left him for good, then I guess maybe she's got some sympathy coming to her.
Yeah.
She sure didn't get much at home.
What do you mean?
Well, she moved back in at the ranch.
Yeah, so I heard.
It was all right with her father, probably on account of her cooking. You remember her cooking, Matt?
I remember old man Ainsley well enough. He worked both those girls half to death.
Well, anyway, I guess her sister really raised Cain.
Well, I figured that'd happen.
She's hated Belle ever since the night she ran away with Kreider, or was taken away. But I didn't think she'd carry it so far.
Now, what do you mean?
Phyllis left the ranch yesterday and moved into town, Matt. She's got a room over at the Dodge House.
What?
Uh-huh.
A 15-year-old kid living here alone?
Yeah, I know.
I'll go see her and talk to her, Kitty. But I don't think it'll do any good.
Well, good evening, Marshal. Chester.
Bloom. How are you, Dovey?
Some of my guests been kicking up their heels, have they?
Dovey, I understand that the youngest Ainsley girl, Phyllis, took a room here yesterday. Is that right?
Yeah, she certainly did. Wanted to get away from that environment, I reckon. I can't say I blame her, Marshal. I know if my sister had been cavorting around for 3 years with a cutthroat like Jess Kreider,
Dovey, would you mind telling the girl that I'd like to talk to her?
Well, I can't very well do that, Marshal.
Oh, why not?
Well, because she up and left this evening.
What?
Yep. I've already let the room to somebody else. She said she was leaving the country and wasn't coming back.
Leaving the country? Well, was she alone?
Well, now, she walked out alone, but I kind of had the impression there was some man waiting for her outside.
And you let her go?
Well, there wasn't nothing I could do about it.
Well, you could have told somebody, or family, or me. She's only 15, Dovey.
Well, that's growed up the way I look at it. Anyway, I figured it's just another case like our sister Belle. It sure ain't none of my responsibility.
Chester and I saddled up and rode out to the Ainsley Ranch, or a homestead it was, actually. A broken back spread with a flinty range and short water. When we got there, we sat and talked with Belle and her father, all polite and formal-like. And nobody saying much of what they meant. Chester kept looking at me funny because I didn't mention young Phyllis, but I'd decided against that 2 minutes after we walked in. And I still hadn't said anything when we left. Belle came out into the yard with us.
It was nice of you to ride out, Matt, Chester.
Well,
nobody else in town's even been near the place.
Now, they're slow people to change, Belle. It takes them a while, I guess. They got to get over feeling kind of awkward around you, I guess.
Well, it's not only the outsiders who feel awkward around me.
Oh?
Well, I guess you wondered where Phyllis was. She's moved out, Matt. She took a room in town.
Well, she'll get over it. A girl can be pretty flighty at that age.
I suppose so. Well, thanks for coming out.
Sure. You ready to ride, Chester?
Yes, sir.
We'll see you again, Belle.
I hope so. Good night, Matt. Good night, Chester.
Good night.
Mr. Dillon, you didn't say one word about Phyllis.
Wait a minute, Chester. We're going to ride away from here now, but we're coming back later tonight.
What?
Didn't you notice how they acted? Old man Ainsley was scared to death. And Belle was jumpy as a young colt.
Well, I did notice that, but
Belle didn't come back home alone, Chester. Jess Kreider's around somewhere.
figure Crider was right there in the house tonight when we was, Mr. Dillon?
No, he couldn't have been, Chester. There's no place for him to hide. Probably hold up in the barn. We'll look there first.
Yes, sir. There's a lantern burning inside.
Yeah. Now, you wait here and keep me covered. I'll edge up to the door and then go in fast.
Yes, well, now, you be careful.
Crider? Jess? Come on in, Chester.
He ain't here?
No, but he has been. You see that blanket on that straw there? It's made up for a bed.
Well, maybe he's up at the house now.
I don't think so. The only horse in here is that old Spavin mare Ainsley uses on the buckboard. Jess Crider'd have the best mount he could lay his hands on.
Maybe the two of them got spooked up and made a run for it.
Well, maybe, but I don't think so.
Get your hands up, Matt.
Well,
you too, Chester.
Oh, well,
Jess?
Forget it, Bill. He's too far away by now to hear you.
What are you talking about?
Well, take a look around. Didn't you have a couple of horses in here?
Well, sure we did. Now, don't move. Either one of you. They're gone. Jess!
You might as well save your breath, Bill.
He took both saddles and the packs. You know where he went?
Well, I can guess.
Where?
When's the last time you saw him this evening?
Just before dark. I brought him out some coffee, and he said he was going to try to sleep. Matt, where'd he go? Tell me.
There's not much point in holding a gun on us. Not now.
Stay back, Matt.
Let's have it, Bill.
No!
Thanks.
Well, now, a man can breathe a mite easier without that thing staring him in the face.
What's happened to Jess? Tell me.
What do you care? You've left him, haven't you? You said you hadn't.
Oh, I only came and told you that so you wouldn't get suspicious. Jess caught a bullet in that holdup at Elko. It was bothering him some, and we had to find a place to stay for a while.
So you brought him home to the family, huh? And in less than a week, your kid's sister ran away from home.
She didn't run away. I sent her into town.
And why?
What's the difference, why?
Because Jess was bothering her, is that it?
What are you saying?
He's always been known for it, Belle. Was that the reason?
All right, that was the reason. She's my sister, Matt. And she's only 15.
And Jess is your man, huh? Isn't that what you told me when you came to my office?
Sure, that's what I told you, but never mind that now. I want to know what's happened to Jess.
The same thing had happened to Phyllis, I guess. She checked out of the Dodge house this evening, Belle. She said she was leaving the country for good.
What?
A man was waiting for her outside. And Jess Crider left here with two horses.
Get him, Matt. Go after him and get him.
You know where he might be.
Of course I know. I know everything about him. I've had 3 years to learn, haven't I?
All right, then where is he?
He'll only ride at night. He'll stop at sunup. There's an abandoned shack about a mile west of where Little Deer Creek runs into the Arkansas.
Yeah, I know the place.
Well, that's where he'll be. We've used it before. We stopped there on our way in.
All right, Bill. That business about your hands being tied, being thrown across the back of Crider's saddle.
That part was true, Matt.
All right, Bill. Come on, Chester, let's ride.
All day, Mr. Dillon.
He will, Chester. They just got here. Those horses are still sweating. He won't leave them standing there saddled for long.
It wouldn't be too hard a chore to slip up through that plum thicket there at the back.
No. If he fights, I don't want the girl in it. We'll just wait till he comes out.
Doggone if I can understand women at all, Mr. Dillon.
I've had the same trouble myself a time or two, Chester.
But why would that nice young girl want to go running off with a murdering outlaw like Jess Crider?
Maybe it's more a matter of hitting back at her sister. She's let her hate for Belle build up till it's driven her half crazy, I guess.
Somebody's coming out. It's him.
Yeah. Easy now. We'll just let him get clear of the cabin. You stay down now.
All right, hold it, Kreider. You're under arrest.
He's going for his gun.
Have it your way. Okay, Chester.
Yeah. It looks like maybe he got out of hanging.
Yeah.
You killed him! Marshal, you killed him! Why? Do you know what you've done?
I know, Phyllis.
Oh, no, no, you don't.
Yes, I do. I've kept you from making an even bigger fool of yourself than you already have.
Oh, what are you saying? I love him. We were going to be married. Well, we were.
Phyllis, you better go home and talk to Belle about that.
Oh, Belle, I'll never say a word to her again as long as I live.
Now, you listen to me, Phyllis. You got to get rid of that hate of yours. If you don't, it's going to ruin your life for good. Now, you go home and you talk to Belle and you listen to what she's got to say before you judge her.
No, I won't go back.
Yes, you will.
I can't. Not now.
Nobody will ever know about this, Phyllis. I promise you. Jess Kreider was alone when I found him. Now, there's your horse. And he's still saddled.
I can't. I don't want to.
I know what you need, young lady. You see that plum bush over there? Well, I'm going to cut me a switch off of that, and if you're not out of here in 1 minute...
Oh, you wouldn't.
Oh, I wouldn't, huh? Well, you just watch me.
Marshal?
Yeah?
I've been thinking, Marshal. Maybe I'll go home after all.
Gunsmoke, produced and directed by Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. The script was specially written for Gunsmoke by Les Crutchfield, with editorial supervision by John Meston. The music was composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Sound patterns by Ray Kemper and Bill James. Featured in the cast were Virginia Christine, Ralph Moody, and Sammy Hill. Parley Bear is Chester, Howard McNair is Doc, and Georgia Ellis is Kitty. Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gun Smoke, starring William Conrad. Transcribed story of the violence that moved west with young America. And the story of a man who moved with it.
I'm that man, Matt Dillon, United States Marshal. The first man they look for and the last they want to meet. It's a chancy job, and it makes a man watchful and a little lonely.
Now, if that sure don't beat all.
What's the matter, Chester?
Odie Perkins, coming down the street there with a mat on so thick you can feel it right through the window.
Oh? Odie's not a man to get tempered easy.
Well, he sure is now, Mr. Dillon. He's a doggone riled, he's leaving a blue streak behind him. It's the gospel truth, look.
It can't be anything serious.
Marshal Dillon.
Ah, morning, Odie.
Marshal, I'm here to call on the power and protection of the law in all its majesty and might.
Well, that's a pretty tall order, Odie. You got some reason for needing the law?
Reason? I got reasons that go back as far as 15 years. Marshal, I want to swear out a complaint, an injunction, a bench warrant, whatever it is it takes to get a certain low-life scum evicted from the premises, run out of Dodge, banished from the territory, and horsewhipped to boot, if you can work it in somehow.
What's a certain person done, Odie, to deserve that kind of attention?
It ain't what he's done as much as what he is, and I ought to know it long before this, but he sure had me fooled.
Uh-huh. You're not by any chance talking
I'm
about...
talking about Brace McCoy. That's who I'm talking about. I even hate to let his sneaking name soil my lips.
Yeah, but, Odie, you and Brace have been partners as long as I can remember.
Oh, not no more. We ain't not since this morning. Marshal, I want him throwed clean off the place.
Now, wait a second, Odie. As I recall, you boys took up that homestead as joint tenants, huh? Brace has got as much right there as you have.
Well,
Marshal!
Yeah, come in, Brace. We were... just talking about it.
I want to get a fella throwed off of my property, Marshal, and that's a fact.
You're referring to Odie Perkins here,
that's
huh?
A fella, Marshal, but him and me ain't speaking, and that's a fact.
You're gall-darn tootin', we ain't. Not now nor never.
I'll sign the papers now if you'll just read them up.
I'll remind you, Marshal, I come here first.
Fixing papers for Odie wouldn't be no use nohow. Little varmint can't write, and that's a fact.
I can make as good an X as you can. I mean, he can.
Now, wait a minute.
Just look at him, Marshal. He ought to be ashamed of himself. A great, big, blubber mouth that outweighs me twice again. And he comes in here sniveling for the law to help him out.
Just
he
a minute.
He's prodding me, and I'm going to whop him good, and that's a fact.
Not while I'm wearing this here six gun, you ain't going to whop nobody. I mean, he
will
ain't going to.
Will you shut up, both of you? Now, who started all this ruckus?
It's personal, Marshal.
Me, I'd rather not say.
Huh? Well, that's just fine. For 15 years, you've ridden together, finally took up land together, and all of a sudden you start sidling around with your hackles up, ready to throw lead at one another. And you won't even say why,
well,
huh?
Just getting particular who I live with, is all.
I want him out of my house,
Marshal. Now, get this straight, both of you. You own that farm jointly, and I got no legal reason to throw either one of you off. So until you settle your differences or sell out, you're going to make the best of it.
I already offered to buy him out.
I ain't budging, and that's a fact.
All right. If you can't settle it yourselves, I'll settle it for you. Chester.
Yes, sir?
Will you hand me those cards over there?
Yes, sir. Here you are, Mr. Dillon. Yeah.
Now, as I recall, you've got a fair to middling house out there and a mighty good barn. Until you sell, you got to stay on the place to take care of the stock. All right. Now, one of you lives in the house and the other one in the barn, and you'll leave each other alone. Is that completely clear? All right, Brace, you cut first. High card takes his choice.
Well, all right. 10. That's good.
Ain't as good as a queen.
All right, what's your choice, Odie?
The barn. It smells better than McCoy.
Odie, you come around my house, and I'll break you in half. That's a fact.
Step one foot in my barn, I'll blast you full of holes.
Now, remember what I told you, both of you. You leave each other alone.
Guess I better get back out to my house. Good day.
I'll be going to my barn now, Marshal. Much obliged.
Why don't you stand in the breeze a little while, Odie? You might cool off a little.
Well, I declare... if that don't beat all. I guess it ain't nothing serious, so.
It's not like him, Chester. I'm afraid it is serious. I just hope it don't get more so. Kitty.
Well, you're as welcome as a hunter's moon through a tamarack bush.
What? Now you sound like a singing chief of the Cherokees.
No, Kiowas. That's her tribe.
Whose tribe?
Summer Dubs. She spent the afternoon helping me sew costumes.
Summer Dub?
Huh? You remember her, Matt. She's that Indian girl who left the reservation last spring and came into town to work for Ma Smalley at the boarding house.
Oh, yeah, sure, I remember.
She's a good seamstress. A real good cook, too, I hear.
Huh?
Yeah, she's sort of lost since Ma Smalley went back east. Hey, look, she did most of the work on this costume. Do you like it?
Well, it doesn't look like that one took much sewing, Kitty.
This is the kind where the sewing's important.
Yeah. I guess a lot depends on it, huh? How about having a drink with me, huh?
I've tasted the morning wind from the south, and my heart beats the lark song.
What's that?
It means I'll have a drink with you.
Oh, okay. Oh, wait a minute, Kitty.
Mad?
Yeah, what's the matter, Doc?
Well, man, I just drove in from up towards the flat, and I passed the McCoy Perkins farm on the way.
Yeah?
You better get out there, man, before those two kill each other.
What do you mean?
Why, they got a confounded war going on. One of them's barricaded in the barn, the other's holed up in the house. And they're firing bullets back and forth so fast, it sounds like the Battle of Shiloh.
I haven't heard from them for 3 days. I was hoping maybe they'd cooled off by now.
Cooler? They didn't sound very cool when I came, brother.
Kitty, it looks like you'll have to stretch out that lark song a little, huh?
It's all right, man.
Okay.
Some other time.
Jing, Mr. Dillon, I never realized it was so far out here. Doc wasn't putting on none about it. Doggone if it don't sound like Shiloh.
Blame fools, you'd think they were old enough to have better sense.
Goodness, right. Now that's just too doggone close for comfort.
I'll comfort him. Rain up, Chester.
Oh. Holy! Brace! Matt Dillon, hold your fire, both of you!
All right, come on, Chess. Let's go over to the barn first. Odie, you in there?
You're darn tootin' I am, Marshal. That big hunk of buzzard bait ain't about to dislodge me, neither.
I am, though. I'll give you just 5 seconds to get that door open and come out here.
Now wait, Marshal.
You hurt me, Odie.
Okay. I wasn't the one that started.
Chester, take his gun and keep him covered.
Yes, sir, I sure will, Mr. Dillon. My goodness.
Brace.
What do you want?
You gonna open that door or you want me to shoot it open?
Now, Marshal, I'll open it. Ain't no call to get all angered up, and that's a fact.
All right, I'll take your gun, Brace, and that's a fact. Here, give it to him. All right, come on out here.
I was only defending myself, Marshal. That scrawny little weasel started it all.
Marshal, don't you believe nothing Brace says? He was born alive.
Shut up, Odie. Well, I guess the only thing to do is to see if you two can manage to get along in separate jail cells. I'm putting you both under arrest for disturbing the peace.
Oh, now, wait just a minute.
What do you mean? Ain't nobody around here, Marshal. Whose peace we disturb?
Mine.
Who?
Come on, let's go.
Buggy tied up there, Mr. Dillon. Must be waiting for us in the office.
Yeah.
Oh, good morning, Matt.
Morning, Doc.
Hey, Chester.
Hello, Doc.
Well, I've got an hour to kill, Matt. Just time to beat the socks off of you in a game of chess. Board's all set up and...
Well, good, Doc. Let me take a look at my prisoners first, huh?
Who is it, Matt?
Odie Perkins and Brace McCoy.
Is that so?
Yeah, I'll be right back. Ah, morning, boys.
Marshal.
Well, how about it? You about ready to stop feuding?
Sure. If Brace will get himself off my property, I will.
I ain't even to budge, Marshal, and that's a fact.
You kind of like it here, huh?
Man can't go back on his principles, Marshal.
He ain't got no more principles than a hungry coyote.
All right, that's enough. You act like a couple of wet roosters. You can't even remember what the whole thing started about.
I remember, all right.
I'll tell you what it started about, Marshal. It started because Brace didn't figure I was fancying his vittles up enough to suit him.
For a whole week, Marshal, he didn't fix nothing but flapjacks in the morning and how many grits at night?
With side meat in them.
Weren't side meat. It was sow belly and it weren't fit to eat.
You know what he done, Marshal, when I put them grits on the table? He throwed them on the floor and tromped all over them with his boots on.
That's all he was fitting for. I wouldn't throw vittles like that to the hog.
I seen many a day you'd be glad for.
Now, wait a minute. Is this the truth? Is this what this whole thing's all about?
Well, it's what it started about.
But it ain't what it's about now. Not anymore, it ain't, Marshal.
No, sir. It's a lot more than that now.
I come to realize I've been keeping a viper in my bosom.
You can be mighty mistaken about a man, Marshal, and that's a fact.
Yeah. But you two thought well of each other for years. Now, it seems to me a friendship like that ought to last over at least one fool argument.
Brace McCoy ain't no friend of mine, not no more, he ain't.
Once I get out of this cell, I'm gonna whop that little gopher to an inch of his life.
Right across the sights of my gun. That's how I want
to see it. All right, boys, all right. Just settle back. Looks like you're gonna have plenty of time to think up names to call each other.
Marshal.
Yeah?
How long you aim to keep us in this miserable old jailhouse?
Well, you got some sense. Or die of old age.
How they making out, man?
Oh, like a pair of tomcats, Doc. I don't know what I'm going to do with them. I can't keep them locked up forever.
For two nice fellows like them, they sure did turn mean awful sudden.
Yeah, if you ask me, they're both probably aching to make up.
Yeah. I've been thinking along those same lines, Doc. Seems to me they could have killed each other out there on the farm if they'd really been trying to.
Of course they could. Why, they must have fired over 100 rounds at each other.
Yeah, but if I let them out, they'll either kill each other by accident or kill somebody else. Unless they could... Yeah. Chester.
Yes, sir?
There's an Indian woman named Summerdove somewhere around town. Kitty can tell you where she is. Go find her and get her over here as soon as you can, will you?
All right, Mr. Dillon.
Boys, this is Summerdove. These are the two men I was telling you about, Summerdove. The short, skinny one is Odie Perkins, and the fat one's Brace McCoy.
How do?
Howdy, Miss Dove.
Glad to know you, man.
Summerdove's one of the best cooks in Ford County, boys. Ma Smalley taught her, huh?
So?
She needs a place to live. She'll work for her keep.
What are you getting at, Marshal?
Well, you boys got a place out there that you're not using, that lean-to against the barn, it might be fixed up pretty comfortable. Like I said, Summerdove's a mighty fine cook.
All right. I'd be proud to hire on Miss Summerdove, Marshal, providing you fix it to keep that ornery sidewinder away from my property.
Sidewinder, you...
Brace, you come within 20 yards of me, you better come and shoot.
All right, boys, hold it. Well, Summerdove, these are the two men I thought you might like to work for, or... Well, one of them, more likely.
One man, two men, makes no difference.
All right. You wait out in the office for me, will you?
Me go.
Yeah. Boys, if you can't come to any agreement, it looks like there's only one way to settle this.
What do you got there, Marsh?
Your guns. I figure you couldn't kill each other out there at the farm because you had too much cover, but here it's different.
What are you doing, Marshal?
I'm putting your guns on the floor of your cells, but neither one of you touch them now till I'm out of here.
Oh, now, wait just a minute.
I don't like this, Marshal, and that's a fact.
There's nothing between you now but an 8-foot corridor and open bars. Now, you get it settled, boys, one way or the other. I'll be in my office. I think that'll do it.
Oh!
Mate, Doc.
Doggone you, Matt. Oh, that was a sneaky move. Yes, it was, if I ever saw it.
Yeah, it was.
I swear I can't get over it, Mr. Dillon. Odie and Brace walking out of here that way, arm in arm, like there hadn't never been no crossword between them.
Well, it's like Doc said, Chester. They were anxious enough to make up. All they needed was a push.
Well, you sure did take a big chance, though, giving them their guns back.
Ah, they didn't want to kill each other. Somebody just had to make them realize it, that's all. I wasn't taking much chance.
He sure wasn't, Chester. Not the way he did it.
Chester, you can ride out there tomorrow and take these guns to him, if you will, and see if Summerdove's got herself settled down. Huh?
All right, Mr. Dillon. What do you mean, Doc, not the way he did it?
Just that, Chester. Matt doesn't take any chances.
You don't call that taking a chance when they might have killed each other?
Not with the blanks he made and putting their guns.
The blanks? He made blanks?
Sure, like those actors use on the stage.
What?
Oh, of course, I figured what he was up to. He didn't fool me any.
Well, you sure fooled me, Mr. Dillon. I was sitting here on pins and needles just waiting for the sound of death.
Oh, you're an easy mark, Chester.
You know, Doc, I was pretty sure about those fellas all the time.
You were?
Yeah. You see that whiskey bottle out there?
Of course I see it. Why?
Blanks, Doc?
Gunsmoke, produced and directed by Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. The script was specially written for Gunsmoke by Les Crutchfield, with editorial supervision by John Meston. The music was composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Sound patterns by Ray Kemper and Bill James. Featured in the cast were Vic Perrin, Barney Phillips, and Peggy Ray. Harley Bear is Chester, Howard McNair is Doc, and Georgia Ellis is Kitty.
Thanks for joining us for Gunsmoke and 1001 Stories from the Old West. We always appreciate reviews, Apple listeners, so if you have a chance, please do send us a kind review. And here are the latest two. 1001 Stories from the Old West, 5 stars. John, love the podcast. I can't get enough of the Old West and its history. Bring on the Gunsmoke episodes. Take care. Ben Harden, Apple Podcast, U.S. And this one, love the show. 5 stars. More Gunsmoke. Mule Skinner 45, Apple Podcast, U.S. Thank you so much for these reviews. They're greatly appreciated. Until next time, everyone, take care, and we'll be back soon.